from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, text, chapter 51, entitled The Deliverance of Muchukunda, text 34 to 42. Te jasa, te abhishayane, bhuri, drashtum, nasakumaha, hata, ojasa, mahabhaga, maninayaha, asi, dehinam, te jasa, te vihasyena, bhuri drashtum na shakum maha hatau jasa mahabhaga maninayo sadehinam tejasate viheshyena bhuri drashtum na shakum maha hatau jasa mahabhaga Maninayasi dehinam Tejasate vihishyena Bhuri drashtum na shakum naha Atajasa mahabhaga Maninayasi dehinam Ladies, Tejasa, because of the effulgence. Te, your. Avishayena, unbearable. Bhuri, much. Drashtum, to see. Na shakum maha, we are not able. Hata, diminished. O jasa, with our faculties. Mahabhaga, O most opulent one, Maninayaha, to be honored, Asi, you are Dehinam, by embodied beings. Translation, your unbearably brilliant effulgence overwhelms our strength, and thus we cannot fix our gaze upon you. O exalted one, you are to be honored by all embodied beings. Shuddha Goswami continued, thus addressed by the King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, origin of all creation, smiled and then replied to him in a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds. The Supreme Lord said, my dear friend, I have taken thousands of births, lived thousands of lives, and accepted thousands of names. In fact, my birth, activities, and names are limitless. And thus even I cannot count them. After many lifetimes, someone might count the dust particles on the earth, but no one can ever finish counting my qualities, activities, names, and births. O King, the greatest sages enumerate my births and activities which take place throughout the three phases of time, but never do they reach the end of them. Nonetheless, O friend, I will tell you about my current birth, name and activities. Kindly hear. Some time ago, Lord Brahma requested me to protect religious principles and destroy the demons who were burdening the earth. Thus, I descended in the Yadu dynasty, in the home of Anaka Dunduvi. Indeed, because I am the son of Vasudev, people call me Vasudev. I have killed Kalanemi, reborn as Kansa, as well as Pralamba and other enemies of the pious. And now, O King, this barbarian has been burned to ashes by your piercing glance. Since in the past you repeatedly prayed to me, I have personally come to this cave to show you mercy, for I am affectionately inclined to my devotees. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. It is apparent from this verse that Muchukunda was a devotee of the Supreme Lord. He had prayed for the Lord's association, and now Sri Krishna granted his fervent request. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna. So we are continuing with this very beautiful episode of this very relevant Leela, which has fortunately come during the Damodar Mass, where on one hand you have a demon like Kala Yavana chasing Krishna, and in Damodar Mass we remember Yashoda Maya also chasing Krishna. So there are two people who are chasing Krishna, and a completely different response is being elicited by the Lord. So it brings out some beautiful principles of bhakti in this nice episode here. So we are just seeing that how Kala Yavan, as was described earlier by Maharaj and others, it is a very gigantic person. He was a huge bodied person. He was not, of course it was Dwapar Yuga, so he was, as it is, big and bulky, but even otherwise he was gigantic in proportions. And he had long strides. You long, when you have short short stride, big man, long legs, long strides. Fast runners are usually very tall, so they know long strides. And Krishna is what he is much shorter than him, of course. So how can we explain this? On the physical platform, any person, any scientific brain can. How can you explain this? That there are two objects. One is moving at this speed. Other is, behind him and moving at 10 times the speed. And still the person who is behind, object behind him, is not overtaking the first one. How can any scientific brain explain this? This is, by the law of velocity or momentum or speed, whatever these people deal with, the physicist. This doesn't seem to make any sense. How can object is racing at top speed not overtake somebody who is just walking and he's just much, much shorter in size? So this is enigmatic. But we can only, all science is resolved in the realm of the absolute, as they say. Right, so when absolute does something wonderful, then the mundane science has to sort of, disappear, and then you have the transcendental science coming in, which explains that the Lord has got achintya shakti. So I think that word achintya shakti is something which is we hear many times, but it's really a beautiful, fascinating subject when you come think of it deeply. How Krishna and all that Krishna has created in this world is achintya shakti. Actually, it is not only Krishna has got achintya shakti, but even in what he creates, the world, the phenomenal world as we see it around us, even it is imbued with the same shakti of the Lord, because it is created by him. So what comes from him also has to be of the same property, the same quality, the same nature. So in this world also is quite inconceivable, actually, and we have many times heard this. Just imagine, for example, how much research is going on to just understand the atom, for example. Here Krishna is saying eventually that, Krishna is introducing himself, that many people in the past have tried to understand me, but it is very difficult to understand me. So let's face the facts. Let's not try to understand Krishna. If you're very honest about it, can you even understand Krishna's smallest atomic creation, which is just the simple atom? And even then the scientists will tell you, yeah, we are still researching. It's still going to figure out what is the atom, the proton, the neutron, and we have all these microcosmic particles which are there. I don't know much about it, but I hear there are pisons and mesons and all, right? And still there's a lot of research going on that. So even the Anu part of Krishna is the Vibhu part, the great, the gigantic part, the macroscopic part, even the microscopic part, even the one simple atom is beyond the realm of the greatest scientific brains in the world. So how can we ever imagine that someone as teeny as us, who can't understand God's single fragmental atom, would have the audacity to say that I understand God? It was such an audacious statement. So, in honest humility, we can't understand Krishna. It's just impossible. Every cell, a living cell, is an enigma. How each cell functions, even now, with all electron microscopes and unimaginable amount of scientific advancement, still the cell is not understood. They still don't understand the genes. There's so much yet to be understood. And you have all this bioengineering techniques and all, but still it is difficult. It is very difficult. So when each cell is bothering us so much for being understood, what to talk of Krishna? You can't understand anything. Everything is inconceivable. And Krishna has just entered the cave of Muchukunda and everything is illuminated. Wow. And he's saying that your brilliant effulgence owns my strength and I cannot fix my gaze on you. So Krishna is a self-effulgent body. So Prabhupada explains that Krishna, yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti, that Krishna's prabha is a Brahma Jyoti, right? Which is Krishna's natural aura or effulgence, whatever you call it, right? Now that is so extensive, it is so great, that it illuminates the entire spiritual sky, which is infinite. The infinite spiritual sky is been illuminated by one person. There was one person. He's illuminating the entire spiritual jagat, which is unlimited in extent. So what is the extent of Krishna's Brahma Jyoti? How unlimited that must be. A small fragment of that comes in this world as the sun. Right? You can imagine sun to be like a convex lens, which can sort of gather light and then focus it in one place, right? So it sort of gathers a small fragmental portion of the Brahma Jyoti in a more mechanistic manner, and then it just dissipates that on a small tiny seed like earth or universe, or this universe is just like a seed. It just illuminates that part. So it's just a bulb which Krishna has created. In Krishna's case, it's like how easy it is to create a bulb for our bulb companies. They can create millions of bulbs. No problem. Sima bulbs, this Apar and so on. You can create millions of bulbs. Krishna creates one sun. It's a bulb like him for him. But a bulb has no tungsten wire and nothing. It has got no electrical source. It has got no source. Every bulb in the world has to have a connection with the powerhouse. There cannot be a bulb which is just there and it has to have connection. But where is the wire which connects the sun to the Brahma Jyoti? It is just self-illuminated, and what it contains is simply hydrogen. It is the most rudimentary type of basic gas. Just hydrogen. And it is, Prabhupada explains so beautifully that it's going on for millions of years. Every furnace, the other day I was, we were in Wada, I was talking to one person there who was helping us with the putting up the posters for the Janmashtami celebration. And he happened to be working at Nasik at the electrical thermal plant. I said, sir, so I just wanted to, understand how are things going on and all. I said, how much coal is there now these days? we're in an eco-friendly mood. So what is the coal situation? So he said, yeah, we have this coal, and we're getting a coal from Vidarbha district. And practically much of the coal is now is lost. We don't have much of coal remaining at all. So then we just gather rocks and the huge chunks we are putting inside. It may contain some coal, but we are just putting whatever is there. So, because they tell us that the electricity power has to go on. So get the coal from somewhere and keep going. Right? So every furnace which generates this huge electrical potency has to have constant supply of coal. Now there is nothing like coal in the sun. And how much is the illumination? They say that the amount of energy the sun emits is so vast that human civilization, since its modernization, since electric power came to being, industrial revolution, it has consumed so much power, right? We have wind power, I don't know how many megahertz is that, but maybe each city or each district or each state or each country, how many millions of megahertz is consumed by since industrial revolution? Now that all put together, if we have the figure, is not even equivalent to the amount of energy emitted by the sun in 1 second. In 1 second, the sun emanates more energy than all the energy consumed by human civilization till date. And that's supposed to be a small universe. And there are millions of such suns in every universe has to have one sun. Please remember, we have a small universe. How do we know that? Because Brahma has only four heads. Do not forget that beautiful Leela of Dwarka, where Krishna had summoned all those Brahmas to come. Our Brahmaji was a little infected with some amount of pride, small pride. But then Krishna does something fantastic. And he summoned all the Brahmas from all the universes, and they all bowed down to him. And we know he used to have 8 heads, 16 heads, and 128 heads, and some millions of heads. Again, that is, even Krishna is inconceivable, forget it. Brahma is inconceivable also. How can somebody's body hold a million heads? And we have difficulty sometimes, we have cervical spondylitis, for example, a disease whereby even one head, which is whatever number of kilos it is, that becomes so heavy that the neck muscle is going to spasm and they have cervical spondylitis. So one head is difficult for a human being to carry. And he has to wear this collar sometimes to support that, right? You've seen people wearing collar? So wear a collar, cervical collar, just so that the head doesn't fall too heavy on the neck. So then the collar buffers the weight of one head. Now what is Brahma's millions of heads doing there on his body? Even Brahma is inconceivable. What, forget about Krishna. And therefore, because we know that Brahma has millions of heads, therefore those universes also proportionately are as large, because they demand of Brahma of that intelligence to govern that huge universe. So compare the universe of that size which has Brahma of millions of heads. What was the sun over there? So there are millions of such suns. So when we talk, we are not even the proverb of the frog in the well, but we are not even frog in the well. We are smaller than that. We are probably the bacteria in the well. And the frog has some understanding of vastness, and he can, you know, maybe try to imagine Atlantis. But we are probably lesser than the frog in the well. So all our scientific advancement becomes fut when we read Srimad Bhagavatam. All our scientific pride goes completely deflated, like a punctured tire. So all our pride of scientific advancement goes flat completely the moment we understand or try to understand the glory of what is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So we, how insignificant we are. If the sun is insignificant, if the sun is insignificant as we are trying to explain this, what is you and me? What is our... And yet, is it not even more bewildering that we have such big false egos? That we think so great of ourselves that we deny God's presence. We said there is no God. It is beautiful, on the other hand, to see that in most religious traditions, they do not even have the personalized conception of God. Is it not wonderful that how blessed we are? In other religious faiths, and we respect all of them, because God gives everyone according to their capacity to understand. Different prophets have come at different times based on the audience they had to cater to. Right? So they all revealed from the vast amount of information they had, realization they had, whether it's Muhammad or Jesus, all these great prophets, they had full realization. But what they were to share was based on what the audience they had to really cater to. So in most of those traditions, they don't even understand, God not even revealed. Now Moses did not even see God. He only heard God. He was such a pure soul, but God did not reveal himself as he is. He said, "You cannot see me." He spoke the Ten Commandments, and they were all inscribed on this tablet, right? Which he brought on the mount. So in traditions like which are very otherwise rich in devotion, we can see, but yet the concept of God is so either not there or very rudimentary at best. Now how blessed we are that in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam here, God, the all powerful God, right, who is the source of these millions of universes, infinite creation, right, with infinite Shakti, is walking himself up to a person in a cave and said, "Here I am." It is another mountain. Moses was also on a mountain. But here on the mountain, Krishna is climbing there with those thorny things, and there's no foot, no footwear, nothing. He's just standing and said, "Here I am. I remember you. I remember your prayers. And I have come to reciprocate with your desires, your prayers." God, with all his glory, stands in front of man. And it is so nice that God is introducing himself. So he said, "You meet and say, who are you, sir?" "And I am so and so, so and so." No, usually say like that. "And I am so and so, I am working here and here, and my father is so and so, and I am born in so and so." This is how you introduce and said, "How about you, sir? Where do you work and what do you do?" Right? And like that. "Where's your family stay?" And like that. We just, you know. So here is a question asked by man. Muchukunda, a great king, of course, pious, great devotee, said, "Who are you?" "I am Muchukunda, I am this and this, I am from the Ikshvaku dynasty, and what about you?" Now, we're in our tradition, the Vaishnava tradition, which we are so fortunately a part of it, God is revealing his own identity. "Here I am." And what does he say about himself? Right? What does God say about himself? "I've had millions of lives, millions of names, and millions of activities, right? And I cannot count them." Now God cannot count. That's how, as I said, everything is ever expanding. So you know, Krishna's birth and, you know, activities are ever expanding. So even before he can count, he has already grown beyond that. So it is ever expanding. So you can never count things that are ever expanding. How can you count? Right? If something is ever expanding, how can you count it? Logically, right? If there is a finite thing, then you can count. It's 1, 2, 3 million, trillion, zillion. No, but if something is ever expanding and growing, you cannot count it. And because Krishna is that, he is honest about saying that, well, I cannot count it because I am always growing. My activities are growing. My names are growing. So again, Krishna says, he confesses. He's not confessing, but he's just saying honestly, you cannot count. So, let's not take these simple truths which Krishna is talking ever for granted. That we are able to understand God who He is. I guess it might be so rare for our soul to come to that level where he understands Krishna as a person, God as a person. He has to evolve through what animal species, he has to go through various other pious lives and other religious traditions, where he ultimately come to a Vaishnava tradition where he understands God as a person. And here, not as a person, we have the symbol of his hair and his nose and on the three lines on his neck, and then his navel is described, and his thighs are described, his ankle is described, and of course, to start always, we have his lotus feet being described. Everything is being described. In our tradition, don't even see God. They barely can hear God. They only have to hear God about from the prophets, the saints, Saint Matthews or the apostles and whatever they have, all these great souls who are there. They understand God from them. But here God speaks himself. About himself. Right? So it is such a great meditation. Such a great meditation. The whole this Leela of Damodar Ashtanga which we are hearing, where again Yashoda Mai, she is running behind Krishna. And she's not as gigantic as Kala Yavana. She's not a fast runner. She had a little heavy body. So heavy body means you cannot run so fast. And what can Krishna run at all? Because he's so small. He's really a small boy. He's just what, 4 or 5 years? 2 years? What is his age? Damodar Leela? 5 years, 6 years. Small boy. How fast can a small boy run? But Yashoda Mai is running behind him and Krishna has been caught. Krishna has been caught. And he didn't have to run, from Gujarat, from Mathura to Gujarat for catching him. Kalyan was running from Gujarat, from Mathura to Gujarat, up there somewhere in Girnar Parvat. Maldeep Prabhu was explaining the other day, Girnar Parvat, somewhere up there, some distant mountain. How many 100 kilometers is that? And Yashoda Mai is, courtyard, Nanda Maharaj's courtyard was, few acres of land, whatever it was, right? And within a few acres of land, Krishna, he's caught. And he's now so scared. So, Brahma Samhita also say the same thing. Panthastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayo rathapi. Manaso muni pungava. Forget about Kalevan, running behind Krishna. This is a insignificant thing, running behind Krishna. What do you talk of running Krishna? You can start running with your mind speed. Not leg speed. Mind speed. And still you will not be able to catch Krishna. That's what Brahma Samhita is, putting this challenge in front of anybody. He said, run behind Krishna and catch him with the speed of your mind. You can't reach his toenails also. Forget it. And Yashoda Mai is not running at the speed of the mind. She's running at the speed of whatever her size. And Krishna has been caught. This is in itself so wonderful. That Krishna has been caught itself is a wonderful thing. And what happened next, of course, is the details. But Krishna has caught is wonderful. Bhaktya tu ananya shakya. Because Krishna, the Yashoda Mai has that power to catch. Not body power, mind power. She has the power of her unalloyed love. Only unalloyed love, as you explained yesterday, that Krishna only can deal with love. His only madhyam of dealing, like a mind-minded person, only has relation with people as based on money. Right? Totally, what do you call, banya or vaishya, like that. Banya buddhi. He can only deal with the whole world in terms of money. Where do I get money? This money, that. Whenever he sees something, he looks at how much money is involved. He just evaluates everything in terms of money. Correct? So Krishna, he is abode of love. So his only exchange can be on the level of love. So when somebody offers wholesale love from the heart, like Yashoda Mai, Krishna becomes completely helpless. And he gets bound. And he gets bound by Krishna. So, then it says further here beautifully, they got hundreds of names, thousands of names, millions of activities, and Krishna's form is now standing in front of Vachukunda. Now, in our tradition, in the bhakti tradition, what we call, right, from the very first canto, we have God revealing Himself. Right? We have Bhishma there, for example, at on his bed of arrows. This was his focus of meditation. He wanted to see Krishna. Krishna never forgot his desire. Krishna never forgets anyone's desire. Bhishma, they wanted to see the Pandavas crowned as kings, and he wanted to see him at the time of death. So he reciprocated, and he came. God comes Himself for his devotee. This is his greatest joy. Like somebody's greatest joy is food, somebody's greatest joy is music, somebody's greatest joy is, we have great different types of joy. Somebody's greatest joy is dresses and nice watches or whatever else, television. What is Krishna's greatest joy? Because he's a person, he has to also have things that give him joy. So if Krishna is saying, what gives me joy? My joy, Krishna's joy, is to exchange love with his devotees. So if Bhishma is wanting to see me, he will come. And then Bhishma Dev is there and he's remembering beautifully. Krishna's form is there in front of his eyes, remembering his ashen grey hair, his cloth flying off, and he's rushing towards Bhishma Dev with that wheel. And Bhishma is remembering all the arrows which he has stuck in Krishna's body. They are oozing blood. Of course, Krishna's body doesn't have blood within, but by his own desire, by his yoga potency, he can manifest blood. It is not a bloody body like us, but Krishna can do that by his desire. He doesn't have veins and bones and arteries like us, but still Krishna can manifest blood by his desire. So blood is coming out, and that particular form where he's having his wheel and is going to smash Bhishma Dev for having hurt and almost had to kill his dear devotee Arjuna. And that meditation is, everything is Krishna, Bhishma is looking at every form, every his hair, and he also describing, those beautiful drops of perspiration on Krishna's forehead, as he's struggling to really run towards me. That is meditation. That is smaranam, that is meditation. And therefore, we are being blessed. Now, as far as we are concerned, at this stage of our devotional life, we cannot see that form of the Lord still. So for us, the acharyas have given us another beautiful system called the Archana Vidhi. Where the same Krishna, who has been described in great detail in every chapter, the way he manifests to Kardama Muni on the Garuda, the way he manifests to Dhruva Maharaj, also, and you go further down, everything, every place is described. Every chapter practically you will have Krishna being manifested to the Prachetas. Every canto there is Krishna is manifesting. What about people like you and me who are sadhakas? We don't have the eyes, Premanjana, we don't have the Premanjana. How do we really look at Krishna? For us, we have something absolutely same. Krishna manifests in the same form, in a way which you and I can see him, and that's all about Archana Vidhi. And the proof of that is Sri Sri Radha Ramana. The proof of that is, in my newfound understanding, it is a great document Krishna is making, that when you want to see me in a form, it's not carved here. This form is not carved in Jaipur. So we can be sure this is nothing just like that. Of course, Jaipur Indians also they do by scripture. But here, Krishna, from a simple Shalagram Shila, that the Lord Himself is manifested in a way which you cannot see Him, His form, with hands and limbs and nose. But then when He grows out of a Damodar Shila, and then this is Krishna's form, a 9-inch form, this unlimited Shakti of the Lord, coming out through a Damodar Shila. His nose, his nails, his eyes, and his small, sometimes they say, some pictures of Radha Raman are a little, wonderful. In some pictures you don't see his incisor teeth. And somebody has shown me pictures where Krishna is smiling. And in that picture you can see Krishna's incisor teeth. The central teeth and incisor teeth. You can see that. Small one tooth. You can see one tooth. And some people you don't see that. So, because he's a person. Maybe he's looking at some devotee and smiling. Maybe the nice offering of kheer and he's smiling. Whatever. Or maybe it's everything is wonderful around him. Bhajan, whatever. He's smiling. Right? So you can see Krishna is a person. That small. And of course here we have Shri Radha Gopinath, Radha Shama Sundar, Radha Banna Bihari. Wonderful forms of. So here is the same Krishna. Therefore acharyas have stressed this clearly. Pratibha nahi tumi sakshat. The same Brajendranandana who is standing in front of Muchukunda Maharaj. The same Brajendranandana who is being chased by Ashwatthama. That same Brajendranandana manifest in all our temples. As Radha Gopinath, Radha Shama Sundar, Radha Giridhari, Radha Madhava. It's the same person. And they were supposed to deal with him in the same way. Bow down, offer him prayers, offer him tulsi. Start meditating on his form from the lotus feet first. Nama pangacha angraye. You start from his feet and understand that. And in fact, in the third canto, it is described in detail how to meditate on every limb of Krishna. So meditate on the Krishna's feet, for example, where the feet of the glories of the feet are unlimited, and there are songs and bhajans are there. Ekyona bhajina prabhu, tumara charane, like that, right? Ashoka bhaya amrita. It destroys all shoka and bhaya. People in the world are very fearful. But just it is said, meditate on Krishna's lotus feet that destroys two powerful negative emotions in this world. What is that? Shoka. Lamentation. How much lamentation in the world is there? For things which you have, which you lose, or which you didn't get, which you wanted. Whatever. People lament so much. And there is so much of fear at every level. In everybody's heart, there's fear. Just 2 days back, somebody had come admitted in the hospital with a lot of fever is going on. And this Bombay city is now having a lot of mosquito bites and all this dengue fever is there. So dengue fever, at the moment the parents hear that my child has got dengue fever, oh, how scared they become. And one person came and said, oh, my wife has got dengue fever. Lord, is that what? And for 4 nights his husband could not sleep. And his blood pressure rose up. And he had to go to a psychiatrist to take treatment. Because his wife had got dengue fever. And she got all right and she already went home. But his fear was still not going. She was admitted, and she got discharged. And she was hale and happy. And she's eating her fruits and bananas, whatever else. And this husband is still not able to get over my wife. I've got dengue fever. And he had to go to a psychiatrist to direct treatment. To calm his anxious nerves down. That type of fear people have. So much of fear. From a small mosquito. Ashoka bhaya amrita. Whatever talk of dengue fever and all this nonsense. All fear of any type, any sort, in the fear of death. Just meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. The Bhagavatam says that it has got such power, just like the thunderbolt is there. You can put a thunderbolt on a huge, huge, gigantic mountain and the thunderbolt crashes to powder, like a talcum powder. Fine. Even a huge mountain, gigantic rocks. That is the power of Krishna's lotus feet. Even if there are mountains of sins performed. Mountains of sins. Not few sins, this and that, this and that. For lifetimes, mountains of sins. Simple. Very simple. Bhakti is so simple and so sublime. Just deeply with love and devotion, meditate and offer prayers to Krishna's lotus feet. And that in itself is sufficient to destroy all sinful reactions of mountainous amounts of sins. That is Krishna's potency. Which, how many yajnas and charity and this and that and pilgrimages, long process. The Vedic process. The bhakti process is so easy. Meditate on Krishna's feet. So wonderful. And every limb is described like that. Have you depended on his calves or his thighs? And in the, of course, in this Leela of what we read every day, sing every day, Damodarashtakam, it focuses ultimately on Krishna's beautiful face. His beautiful lotus-like face. Lotus-like face. Lotus-like eyes. Locks of curling hair. It is a deep, deep, beautiful meditation. So we are very fortunate. Let us not take any of these gifts of Prabhupada, where he has revealed the entire spiritual world. The world did not know these things. Before Prabhupada came, this was locked secret. Just a few select elite Vaishnavas who are in dedicated Vaishnava scholars who are reading the scriptures, you know, some Sanskrit knowledge and all was there. You know, they knew, they understood what is God, what is Vishnu, Narayan. But people like you and me, ordinary souls of this world, who had no access to this, this is now rampantly being distributed. The Prabhupada's books, temples, where all of us can understand who is God. God is a person. His eyes, his nose, his neck, his limbs, everything is described. His potencies, his devotees, his leelas, his names, everything is broadcasted. Widely broadcasted by Prabhupada and his movement. Fortunate to be a part of that. So let us take, like open our hearts to receive. Like, you know, on great souls, what can really we give them? You know, their disappearance days. Yesterday was Murari Gupta's disappearance day. Wonderful days are coming. What can we really give a great soul? What can we really give Prabhupada? I mean, what can you give to somebody who has Krishna? You can't give anything. A great soul cannot be given anything because he has everything. Because he has Krishna. So the only thing the great souls want is to gratefully receive what they have come to give. That's what they want from us. That is a gift we can give them. That we want to gratefully receive what you have come to give us. If we receive that with a grateful heart, then they are very happy. All the spiritual masters are very happy to receive what they are giving. So let us receive from Prabhupada and his followers this gift of unalloyed bhakti, where we have the full revelation of God in all his glory, with no covering. Krishna is removed. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna removes the yogamaya, the veil, and he said, "This is what I am. Here I am. Look at me." In Mahaprakash Leela is like that, you know, said, "Murari, look at me." Krishna is telling us, "Look at me," like that. Look at my form. So let us meditate on Radha Gopinath. Every day is a festival for the eyes to see Gopinath dressed nicely, put the pujaris. So I'd like to end over here. Thank you all for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.